الحمد لله رب العالمين ناصر المجاهدين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد النبي المجاهد الشهيد وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين ساروا سيره وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاهم اليقين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا وقال تعالى ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيده لوددت أن أقتل في سبيل الله ثم أحيا ثم أقتل ثم أحيا ثم أقتل ثم أحيا ثم أقتل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Whilst the world was celebrating the end of the last year and the beginning of the new year, those that have true concern for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other free people in the world who are in the true sense of the word, they are free. They were devastated by the news that they were always, since the 31st of August, they were dreading the news, and that is the announcement of the shahadat and the martyrdom of the famous spokesman of the Qassam, Abu Ubaidah rahimahullah. On Monday, the 29th of December, after many months, there was a new Abu Ubaidah that was appointed by the Qassam with the same title of Abu Ubaidah, and he sent a long message to the world in which he announced the shahadat, the martyrdom of many senior leaders of the Qassam, including Muhammad Sinwar rahimahullah, the brother of Yahya Sinwar rahimahullah, other great leaders and other great people that the ummah have lost in the last few months, including An-Natiq, the famous spokesman, Al-Mulatham, the masked spokesman, the one whose face was always covered, and that was Abu Ubaidah rahimahullah. I will just mention or read some of the words, read the message of the new spokesman for us to understand what a person we lost, what influence he had in the world. A person that was living in Gaza, a person that was living in the ruins, living among his people, contrary to what the enemy tried many a times to fool the world, that the leaders are living a life of comfort and the leaders are safe and sound in very posh hotels, etc. These people were living among their people. Yes, some of them, the political leadership, for work purposes, they were already out of Gaza. But the rest of them, although they had the choice of remaining within the tunnels, they were not hiding in the tunnels. Rather, they were among their people. We know this person, Abu Ubaidah, as the spokesman. But now the reports are coming that whilst he was a spokesman, when the need was for him to be a spokesman, he was actually a commander on the battlefield on the front lines. And the messages have come out that the world will be surprised and shocked what kind of encounters he was involved in and what victory Allah blessed him on his hands on the front lines. He even mentioned an incident that on one occasion he was in the upper story of a building. The enemy came into the bottom of the building. He had his explosive vest on him and he was ready to go and fight the enemy and get his shahadat. But Allah didn't will it to happen. The enemy withdrew and he didn't encounter the enemy. So these were these people. Really, as an ummah, we are losing very, very great people. And the sad reality is we don't even know these people. And this was one of their outstanding qualities. They always loved to be hidden. There was one person, one alim from Gaza who's living out of Gaza. He mentioned and he says that you will find that the Qassam fighters are always, their faces are covered. And he says, do you know the reason for that? The reason that will come to our mind is because of security reasons. So that they must not be identified by the enemy. He says, whilst that could be one of the reasons, he says the main reason is that their tarbiyat is made that you must have so much of ikhlas that they want their faces to be covered so the world mustn't know who they are. This is the level of ikhlas. This man himself, Abu Ubaidah, his standard advice to people would be regarding, he would say, beg the help of Allah through the ikhlas of the people of ikhlas. Something to this effect. Beg the help of Allah through the ikhlas of the people of ikhlas. On one hand, he was the spokesman. He was the face. But those that are close to him, his own family members, they say that he never wanted to be known. He wouldn't go to places where people will recognize him, that this is that famous icon in the world. This is the level of sincerity and dedication in which they serve the ummah. May Allah also inspire us and bless us. So this new spokesman, he says, moment, we cannot help it but to pause in respect for the man of this position. The man who held the position for 20 years. For 20 years, he was the spokesman of the Qassam. There were numerous attempts, assassination attempts on his life. It is obvious that a person of this kind of influence, the enemy will definitely assassinate him. Whilst we feel heartbroken that such a great man has become shaheed, the people who know him, they write and they say, Kayfa bi Abi Ubaidah, ay yuktaba ismuhu fi tariq bi ghayri ismi shaheed. How can a person like this, who every address of his, he ended his address, وَإِنَّهُ لَجِهَادٌ نَصْرٌ أَوْ إِسْتِشْهَادٌ. Small children who don't even understand it have learned those words. Those were his words, that this is our jihad, this is our struggle, either we will be victorious or we will become shaheed. So many times he said this, billions in the world heard these words of his, millions have been inspired by these words of his. How can a man who ended every address of his, that either we will be victorious or either we will become shaheed, a man who spent so many decades of his life in this path, how can his name be written in history without the title of shaheed? This title befits a man like this. And respected friends, nearly every leader of the Qassam and the Hamas, they have become shaheed. When Abdul Aziz Rantisi rahimahullah was appointed after the demise of Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, he was appointed as the leader. Someone asked him, that wasn't there a power struggle? Normally you will always have a power struggle in an institute, in an organization. Wasn't there a power struggle? Weren't the people fighting that they won the position? He says, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ نَتَنَافَسُ عَلَى الشَّهَادَةِ لَا نَتَنَافَسُ عَلَى الْقِيَادَةِ. We are a nation. We don't compete for positions, we compete for shahadat. We don't compete for positions, we compete for shahadat. Within 40 days of his appointment, he was made shaheed. And thereafter, every leader was made shaheed. These people live to give their life for Allah. So when this is their whole aspiration, and this, after all, was the aspiration and desire of none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith of Sahih Bukhari, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes a qasam on that being who controls his life. لَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. My desire is that I must be killed in the path of Allah. When did we have that desire for shahadat? This was the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that my desire is that I must be killed in the path of Allah. And one shahadat is not enough. Thumma uhya, I must be brought back to life. Thumma uqtal, for a second time I must be made shaheed. I must be brought back to life. For the third time I must be made shaheed. I must be brought back to life. And the fourth time I must be made shaheed. This was the desire of who? Of none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are people in the world today that are showing this to us, that are demonstrating this, that shahadat is something you live for and you die for. Shahadat is something that it must be your highest aspiration. So nevertheless, Allah blessed him with the shahadat. From Gaza, he says that we do not console, and we do not console someone who has lost a family member as a shaheed. Rather, we congratulate that person. Shahadat is something you congratulate. You don't console. You congratulate that Allah accepted your family member as shaheed. So nevertheless, coming back to the words of this spokesman, he says that we have to pause in respect before the man of this position who always graced you with his powerful voice, his sincere words, his anticipated good news, the masked figure loved by millions. People never saw his face, but they loved him. Millions across the world, even non-Muslims, held him in very high respect, who eagerly awaited his appearances and saw in him a source of inspiration, in his red kefia, an icon for all the free people of the world. An icon for all the free people of the world. And in his address, he used to always say, Ya Ahrar al-Alam, O free people of the world. Not those people that have been enslaved to the wrong systems of the world. Not those people that have been colonized in their minds. Although maybe they may feel that our lands are not colonized. These are people who are the free people of the world that he would address. He says, we mourn the loss of the great martyr, An-Natiq bismi Kataib al-Qassam Abu Ubaidah, Sautul Ummah al-Hadir, the spokesman for the Al-Qassam brigades, Abu Ubaidah, the resounding voice of the Ummah, a man of words and action. Not just a man of words, a man of words and action. The pulse of Palestine, its holy site, its people and its resistance fighters. He was the leader of the Qassam media, a man of profound influence on the hearts of the Ummah. He was a great warrior, never abandoned his people, even in the darkest of times. He never abandoned his people in the darkest of times, addressing them from the heart of the battle, bringing to them good news, offering them patience, comforting them, patting them on the back, despite the extreme danger and repeated targeting. Very uniquely, he would have dedicated messages in his address for different people in the world. And in his addresses, in his speeches, he would always acknowledge those people that helped them. Wherever they may be, he would acknowledge those people. And every time he acknowledged the suffering of the people of Gaza, and he always encouraged them. The enemy's public, even more than his own people, waited for his announcements. Because they knew that our government was lying to us, this man will give us the truth. So the public of the enemy, the Israeli population will actually await his statements. Today we announce, Nazuful Qaid al-Kabir, Hudayfa Samir Abdullah al-Kahlut Abu Ibrahim. This was the first time that the world came to know his real name. The influence a person can have without his name even being known. Why? Because it was that sincerity, that dedication for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, today we announce to the ummah the passing away of the great leader, Hudayfa Samir Abdullah al-Kahlut Abu Ibrahim. He passed away after 2 decades of infuriating the enemies and gladdening the hearts of the believers. He met his Allah in the best of states. لَقِيَ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ خَيْرِ حَالٍ. He met his Allah in the best of states, in the state of shahadat. وَأَيُّ عَلَامَةٍ. He says, what greater sign of his sincerity to Allah is there than the fact that Allah has elevated his name throughout the world and granted him acceptance on earth. He goes on speaking about this man, about the influence he had. He says he has departed after leading the Qassam Brigade's media with utmost competence. He and his brothers presented distinguished performance that was witnessed both by friend and foe. And he goes on praising him, making dua for him, etc. Respected friends, this is the person we lost. I'm sure many of us, most of us heard of him, and we would anticipate his messages, we would take inspiration from his messages. But the question is, who is the man, who was the man behind the mask? One was the mask. Who was the man behind the mask? What made him like this? And these are the lessons that we need to take. Daily there are people that are leaving this world, especially in the land of Gaza, who are leaving behind great lessons for us. And it is our good fortune if we take inspiration from the living examples before us. So, there's many messages that have come now from his family, from his brothers, etc. And they explain, firstly, the environment in which he grew up. Many of us may have the desire that one day Allah must accept my son to be such a person of influence and do such great service of deen. But where does it start off? They say he grew up in an environment of deen. يَرَى قِرَاءَةَ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الْبَيْتِ. He opened his eyes to an environment of Quran in the home. He opened his eyes to the environment of Quran in his home. His father would be studying kitabs of Aqidah, kitabs of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us question ourselves. Our children, what do they open their eyes to? The father unfortunately glued to the phone. And Allah forbid, if the child only sees what the father is doing on the phone. That's another story altogether. Now when the children are opening their eyes to this, what do we expect from that generation? What do we expect? It's very easy to blame that generation. But the question is, are we creating the right environment in the home? Those that are teaching hifz, the ustads of hifz will always complain. And those that are also teaching in the madrasa, I met a senior alim this week, who's teaching perhaps from 1980, maybe a little before that. For so many years he's teaching. He says, today it's a mission to teach. He says that before, when the grade one child would come to school, come to madrasa, generally the child will be crying on the first day or first few days. He said, now they make you cry. But then he says, what can we do? The only exposure they have to deen is that 2 hours that they come to madrasa. The home environment is completely non-conducive to deen. Respected friends, if we want those heroes of the ummah to grow up in our children and in our time, then we have to create that environment. He grew up in an environment of Quran, in an environment where his father was studying the kitabs of Aqidah and Seerah. كَانَ مُلْتَزِمًا فِي شَبَابِهِ شَابًا مُلْتَزِمًا. In his youth, he was one who practiced on deen. He was a person who practiced on deen. Very, very committed to deen. تَرَبَّى عَلَى مَوَائِدِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْحَدِيثِ النَّبَوِي. He grew up on the dastarkhan, on the tablecloth of Quran and Hadith. 2 years ago, it was the first Jummah in January in this masjid, that alhamdulillah we discussed this whole chapter of Quran and Gaza. And since then, there's just more and more examples that we come across of the very strong link that the people of Gaza have to Quran. And what Quran has done to them. The question I ask myself, and all those that perhaps remember that Jumu'ah, that since that day 2 years ago, how much has my attachment to Quran increased? How much of inspiration have I taken from these people? Again, there was this public figure, the icon in the world. Millions were waiting for his address. But how did he grow up? What was the inspiration in his life? Again, he grew up with the tarbiyat of Quran and Hadith. And then, Ibnul Masjid. These are the words that are used. Ibnul Masjid. He was the son of the masjid. He was a man of the masjid. On the 100th day, perhaps it was, of the war in Gaza, when Abu Ubaidah made his address, then he said, I am calling unto the 2 billion Muslims of the world, and I'm telling you that hundreds of masajid, if I remember correctly, it was 1,200 masajid or more in Gaza have been destroyed. People commented on this. They analyzed the statement, and they said that we heard the crack in his voice and the emotions in his voice when he spoke about the masjid. And they said that is because the attachment that the people of Gaza have to the masjid. Here again when they're writing about the man, Ibnul Masjid. If he was a youngster of the masjid, they say that he studied under one of his relatives, a very, very great shaheed, a great alim of Gaza, Shaheed Nizar Rayyan Rahimahullah, who was assassinated on the 1st of January. On the 1st of January he was assassinated, approximately 17 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, or longer. He was assassinated, his entire family was wiped out. Only two sons perhaps survived. This was one of the biggest massacres in Gaza reported that time. So he say, they say that he would attend the lessons of Nizar Rayyan Rahimahullah in the masjid. وَتَعَلَّمَ كُلَّهُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ He learnt all his ilm in the masjid. Respected youth, let us attach ourselves to Kitabullah and Buyutullah. This is the secret behind these people. The attachment to the Kitab of Allah, to the Quran. It's not only about becoming a Hafiz. It is about living Quran. About making a proper effort to understand Quran in the correct way. Understanding the correct message of Quran. And then living Quran. And then we see how Allah accepts these people and what miracles are happening at their hands. So, he was a person of Quran. This is how his tarbiyat was made. This was how he was brought up. He was nurtured in this way. A man of Quran, or youngster of Quran, a youngster of the masjid. And that time, when the person commented on this Abu Ubaid, that an average youngster in Gaza spends 7 hours of the day in the masjid. 7 hours! Let us ask ourselves a question, do our youngsters spend 7 minutes in the masjid a day also? 7 minutes is difficult, leave the youngsters, even the adults. 7 minutes is difficult. They're spending 7 hours in the masjid. Everything revolved around the masjid in Gaza. And therefore, the pain in his voice, when he spoke to the Muslims of the world, that you have forsaken not only the people of Gaza, you have forsaken the houses of Allah in Gaza. So, this was his upbringing. He was brought up. They say that his parents brought him up ala hubbil jihad wa hubbil Quran. The love for jihad and the love of Quran. In the home from a young age, this was brought, was put in their mind, entrenched in their minds, that we are living, that the enemy has occupied our lands, and we have to resist, and we have to free our lands. So this was his childhood. Now, the upbringing that a person generally has, generally that's what he passes on to his children. He passes on the same to his children. So his brother mentioned these details regarding the upbringing, regarding the environment of the home. And now his only surviving son, Ibrahim, who's 18 years of age. And because of that, he's given the title Abu Ibrahim. So he mentioned certain messages now. Obviously, all this time they couldn't expose who they were and who their father was. But now he mentioned certain messages about his father. And again, it's the same tarbiyat that he gave his children. And that is the tarbiyat of Quran. Two of his daughters became shaheed during the strike. Both of them were already hafidat. One was 7 years old, minnatullah, 7 years old. Her hifz happened during the war. The man is the spokesman. He's a spokesman. But his daughter, 7 year old daughter, is memorizing the Quran during the war. And this is what his brother mentioned. He said, despite all his military activities, despite his busy schedule, كَانَ مُجْتَهِدًا بِتَعْلِيمِ أَبْنَائِهِ الْقُرْآنِ He would take out time. He would make an effort to teach his children Quran. The question again we as parents ask ourselves, we are so busy doing what? We are so busy doing what? That we say we don't have time to teach our children. We don't have time to teach our children Quran. We don't have time, Allah forbid, to recite Quran ourselves. The man had such a busy life. During the war, imagine what a life he was living, being one of the main targets of the enemy. But still his daughter memorizes Quran during the war, 7-year-old daughter. And this eldest son also is a hafiz of Quran, the only young child who was also a boy who passed away, he did not memorize the Quran. So, this youngster, his name is Ibrahim, he speaks about his father and how his father gave them Quran, his mother gave them Quran. He says, Shukran laka ya abi, anta wa ummi. He says, I thank you, my father. A young boy loses his father, loses his whole family, only one surviving. He says, I thank you, my father. لَقَدْ رَبَّيْتُمُونَا عَلَىٰ حِفْزِ الْقُرْآنِ You made our tarbiyat on Qur'an. Maybe you gone, but you've left Qur'an behind. He goes on to explain various details. He says that we saw Qur'an in our mother and father before we studied Qur'an. We studied Qur'an and then we saw what our father and mother were teaching us. Again, is this the same happening in our homes? Or it is the madrasa is different? They are learning something in the madrasa. The new year will start, madrasa year will start. And inshallah we will make the right choices for the ta'lim, dini ta'lim of our children. But what happens in the madrasa, and they are being taught and about this and that, and salah is fard, and they come home and it's something else altogether. This is the tarbiyat in the home. He says, the son is writing. He says, بَيْنَمَا يَتَقَلَّبُ الْوَارِثُونَ بَيْنَ الدِّرْهَمِ وَالدِّينَارِ Whilst other heirs will be enjoying gold and silver. They will be enjoying the material possessions of this world. And this is normally the fikr and concern that we have for our children. We must leave them financially secure. He says, كَانَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي يُجَهِّزَانِ إِرْثِي أَمَامَ عَيْنِي وَلَمْ أَنْتَبِهِ He says, my father and mother were preparing my inheritance also. I didn't realize the inheritance they were preparing for me. He says, the inheritance that they prepared, زَرَعُوا بِنَا إِيمَانًا وَتَقْوَى وَحَصَنُونَا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ حِفْظًا وَعَمَلًا He says, they instilled within us iman and taqwa. And they protected us with the kitab of Allah, memorizing the Qur'an and practicing the Qur'an. لَقَّنُونَا قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى My father and mother taught me that this life of dunya, the enjoyment of dunya is short. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى And the akhirat is far better for the one who fears Allah. He says that لَمْ تَتْرُكَانَا بِدُونِ إِرْثٍ تَائِهِينَ He says, oh my mother and father, you didn't leave us without any inheritance. Most probably there must be hardly anything left in terms of monetary, in terms of material. The home is not left, nothing is left. But he says, you haven't left me behind without any inheritance. وَإِلَى الْمُلْتَقَى يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ He says, till the day we meet, on the day when wealth and children won't benefit. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ It is the one who comes to Allah with a clean heart. There's so much more that we can speak about it, about him. The son says, once after a long time, I met my father during the war, obviously, certain periods they would be hidden. So he says, after a long separation, I met my father and I asked him, kam marratan qara'ta al-Qur'an? During this time, how much Qur'an you read? The son is asking the father, imagine what an environment of Qur'an. My father, how much Qur'an you read during this time? He says that during this time of separation, in the heat of the war, he says, I would make khatam every 2, every 3 days. Every 2 days, every 3 days. That same person who's the icon in the world. Every 2 days, every 3 days, I was making khatam of Quran. So he said, I asked him, how did you manage so much of work? You involved in jihad. You on the front lines. You are the media man. You have to make the statements, all the difficulty. How are you managing to recite so much of Quran? His reply was, كَيْفَ لِهَذَا الْعَمَلْ أَيَّتِمْ وَكَيْفَ لَهُ التَّوْفِيقْ دُونَ الْقُرْآنِ How will we ever accomplish what we want? This effort that we are making, how will we ever see the accomplishment of it? And he says, how will we get tawfiq from Allah if we're not attached to Qur'an? Now this was the man of Qur'an, respected friends. Again, there's so much his brother mentioned. He says, when he advised with Qur'an. He took inspiration from Qur'an. He says, if I have to sum him up, that same spokesman, he says, if I have to sum him up, he'll say, I will say he is Rajulul Qur'an. A man of Qur'an. I know I've taken extra time. Just last message from his family. They say, to all those who loved Hudhayfa, referring to Abu Ubaidah, may Allah have mercy on him. They say, فَقَدْنَا رَجُلًا مُؤَثِّرًا عَلَىٰ مُسْتَوَىٰ بَلَدِهِ وَأُمَّتِهِ We have lost a man who had influence on the country level and on the entire nation, on the entire ummah. And indeed the whole world, He had an influence over the entire world. They say, قَدْ انْقَضَى أَجَلُهُ. His life has come to an end. And he has joined the side, he's joined Allah who is forgiving and all merciful. He says to the masses of the ummah who loved him and constantly took his name. He say that now the responsibility is you must stand firm behind the principles that he always proclaimed. Follow in his footsteps, spread his legacy, adhere to his approach and his method, and stand under his banner and under his message. For the greatness of a man is measured by the truth he carried and acted upon. Respected friends, the last message that he gave, the last message that he gave, voice message that he gave to the world, very emotional message. It was a message after many months when he was absent from the world. It was the 18th of July and he said something, and I'm going to end on these words. These words at that time, it affected many people in the world. Many ulama were shuddering at these words, that these words came out from such a person's mouth. Respected friends, I'm going to mention these words. And let us think about it. And also, let us reflect over. He says, "Inna naqulu lit-tarikh." He says, we place on record, وَبِكُلِّ مَرَارَةٍ وَأَلَمْ. With every type of bitterness and sorrow and pain, we say, أَمَامَ كُلِّ أَبْنَاءِ أُمَّتِنَا, in front of the entire world, يَا قَادَةَ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ, oh, the leaders of the Islamic and Arab nations, وَيَا نُخَبَهَا وَأَحْزَابَهَا الْكَبِيرَةِ, and oh, the intellectuals, oh, the big groups and big organizations of the world, يَا عُلَمَاءَهَا, oh, the scholars of the world, of the ummah, أَنْتُمْ خُسُومُنَا أَمَامَ اللَّهِ, you will be our opponents before Allah. We will stand before Allah and complain against you. You will be the ones who we will complain against before Allah. Antum khusumu kulli tiflin yateem. You will be the opponent of every orphan child in Gaza. Wa kulli thakla, every mother that is crying over her child. Wa kulli nazihin wa musharrad, every person that was displaced and was forced out of his home. Every person who was injured. And every person who went through difficulty. That person will hold you by his collar before Allah. That, oh Allah, when we were in this situation, this person did nothing. The question I need to ask myself, and every one of us need to ask ourselves, more than 2 years, the war in Gaza, the genocide in Gaza, we know what has happened. It's nothing hidden from the world. No one can say, I don't know what happened there. And the atrocities, etc. How much have I done as an individual, in my individual capacity, how much have I done? Have I exhausted my resources in helping these people? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. The bombing, relentless bombing, may have stopped. Yes, there's no much so intense bombing. Here and there, there's some attacks and some strikes. But the people of Gaza are in a lot of difficulty. The weather, the rain, the floods, they are in extreme difficulty. Some of them are saying the difficulty we're experiencing now is even more than the difficulty of the times of bombing. That level of difficulty is happening. And me as an individual, part of this ummah, what have I done to help and alleviate the suffering of even one person there? At least something I can say on the day of Qiyamah, oh Allah, I tried whatever I could do. If financially I can't assist, can't I spare 1 minute after every day at least to make dua for them? Is it that because there isn't so much of media coverage now, I have forgotten about what is going on? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take inspiration from these great people. And may Allah bless the ummah with leaders that will inshallah lead us, and that day inshallah will come soon when the announcement will be made that Masjid al-Aqsa is liberated. And may Allah allow us to have a share in that. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.